Oh, welcome into another episode of, I guess we're calling it episodes. What are we calling it, April?
Well, it's our chronicle. So is it the chronicle episode or is it just chronicle number three?
Let's just call it chronicle number three.
And
yeah, I kind of like that. Welcome into our chronicle.
Yes.
I used to say welcome into my mess, but you know.
Oh.
This is better than a mess.
Mess is okay too. This could be like a chronicle of our mess.
Yeah. And you know, I'm so glad to be FaceTiming with you ladies. And this is a podcast. This is a chronicle that's going to break on Wednesday of next week. So that's just a couple of days away from us. And I like that I'm FaceTiming with you. I would love for the whole world to see you guys, but I know April was in panic mode this morning. I haven't washed my hair, which I absolutely adore.
I did not even put on a hat. It's all dry shampoo, baby.
Oh, it looks wonderful. Well, in my shelves behind me, I don't know if you can tell, but they're major dust. There's about an inch of dust on them back there, so it's probably a good thing we're not. And I didn't wash my hair either. I got a hat on, so it's a good thing we're going. But I am so tickled that we have that Heather has. Is it Sobel? Is that how I pronounce your last name? Am I getting that right?
Yes, Sobel is fine.
Okay, good. Are you sure now?
I was married, but I didn't fully change my name. I just put it that way on Facebook. So if you're really looking me up, I'm Heather Manus, and that's Manus, which is anus with an M.
This is going to be fun. I can tell already. Yeah, you're going to fit right in. We may have you on all the time.
I'm here at your service, my friend.
Well, listen, you kind of caught my attention because I've seen some of your live feeds, and I'm going to be blatantly honest, like I told you in the pre-roll, is that I shut them down because I like to be, and I think April feels the same way, I like to be totally ignorant going into this. Because I want to be like I'm the audience listening to this, and I want to know exactly. So if I remember correctly, though, you are an RN, right?
I am, yeah. I've been a registered nurse for 12 years, and I started my career right there in Farmington. I was born and raised at San Juan Regional, or born at San Juan Regional Hospital and raised in the Four Corners area my whole life. And I went to school at San Juan College and got my nursing license 12 years ago.
Well,
oh, wow.
Well, I have to tell you that there is a major, major place in my heart for nurses. Not that my doctors haven't been great, but it's been my nurses that whenever I've been in the hospital or had anything, is the ones that actually did the work for me or made me feel the best. The doctor came in, did his bit and left. The nurses, you know, they're kind of cold. But the nurses I've had, and I've had male nurses that were RNs as well, I owe a deep bit of gratitude to them. So thank you, and God bless you for what you do.
Now, thank you. Yes, I stand among the best as a registered nurse, and we love doctors, and we're grateful for what they do, but nurses really are that point of compassion, that point of care, and the ones who are working directly with patients to help them implement what it is that they need in their lives to live their best lives.
All right. Now, you have kind of gone a step further that I think, and I would say, I guess modernized would be the best. I don't think people really understand exactly. When I was in high school, I graduated in 1973, so that's how long ago this was. I wrote a poem, and it was called Is It Harmful? And it was about marijuana, cannabis, okay? And so, and the poem was on a positive side, and that I felt like it was going to be something that was going to be a healing thing. And I wish I could find that poem, honest to gosh, because I'd like for you to read it. But, you know, it's a juvenile poem, but still at the same time. You, though... You work in with cannabis, right? I mean, educate me.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really interesting. I say that, you know, I've had a relationship with the plant cannabis since I was 15, going to Farmington High School. You know, like most teenagers, I was curious about things. And for some reason, cannabis was, it just kind of stuck with me. It was something that really helped me to perform better, helped me focus better in school. And I'm not advocating for youth to use it, but this was my experience, not knowing anything about the benefits or the healing powers of cannabis. And that kind of like went away as I became a young mother and raised my family. And I went to nursing school and I started working at Basin Home Health right there in Farmington, New Mexico. And I had a patient that I was caring for. And when I received his file, his medication record had cannabis in all capital letters, and it was the first medication on his list.
Wow.
And I went, whoa, yeah. What is this about, right? And so when I went to see him, I used this as a point of assessment. And I said, I see here that you use medical cannabis. Can you talk to me about that? And he was able to tell me that he was the fifth card-holding patient in the state of New Mexico, which means through the New Mexico Department of Health Services, through the medical cannabis patient program, he was the fifth person in the state of New Mexico to get his card. And I used this opportunity to just ask a lot of questions. And he had MS, so he was using it topically to help with the spasms in his legs, to help him sleep at night. He was using it inhaled, the flowers, smoking it throughout the day for his mood enhancement. He was eating edibles to help him relax and sleep in the evenings. And so I learned a lot about the use of cannabis in different methods of administration. And as a home health nurse, I also realized there were a lot of patients that used cannabis because they were homebound. And it really set me on this mission to understand more about the program through the State Department of Health and how patients could become legal patients and be able to gain legal access to cannabis medicine in the state of New Mexico.
All right. I think I've been pretty forthcoming with April about it. I have had friends. I have not got it prescribed as of yet. So technically I'm doing it somewhat illegal. But I have had gummies, and I have had flower, and I can tell you that. And in my day, it wasn't called flower. I can't remember, but you know, it was a doobie. We rolled a doobie. my thing is, I know it's working towards more to be legalized in New Mexico, more prevalent. I mean, being able to attain it. I can drive 40 miles to Colorado and be able to go to the dispensary and pick it up without a problem. You know, I forgot even what I was going to say. Heather, I had something important.
You know? Oh, that's a side effect, my friend. I think you've been driving to Colorado. Busted.
Well, that I had that before I started doing it again. So, yeah, mine is a senior. I have kind of a compound thing. It's a senior moment. So,
yeah. Well, honestly, what it's interesting because we do have a lot of stigmas about cannabis, and oh, it makes you forgetful, and but what I've actually learned over the years of working with cannabis patients all over the world, not just New Mexico, not just the U.S., but all over the world, and looking at the research and science, there is huge benefits for patients who have Alzheimer's and dementia. Cannabinoids are actually neuroprotectants, antioxidants, and anti-inflammatories. And they can work on directly on some of the issues that are going on with dementia and Alzheimer's. And so there are a lot of patients that I've worked with them and their caregivers who are providing cannabis for them to help them with their memory loss and senior moments.
Oh my gosh. Well, let me ask you, April. Now, yeah, you can decline to answer, but have you tried it at all?
Like, this is going on the air, right?
No. Yeah. Well, you can decline. I mean, you can say, I'd rather not say, but you know that makes you look guilty anyway, right?
So I can say, as a teenager, I never did. I can say that. But you know, we've talked a little bit about how I have trigeminal neuralgia, and so there's a lot of pain that goes in with that. And so I did experiment, but I think that I probably tried the wrong kind, because I just got an edible, and it was chocolate, and they said just take off, like, a little tiny piece, you know? And so I did, and I kid you not, like, I sat there for 5 hours, and, like, I got super paranoid, and it, for me, it was, like, the worst experience
ever. Too much THC. And when you're eating it, you know, I've educated at medical conferences, workshops, in services, all kinds of things, and and one of the things that we talk about is, you know, that low, low doses are best, and to start low and go slow. And for a lot of people, they'll think, oh, well, 10 milligrams then, like 2 milligrams, 2.5 milligrams is a good starting point for people who are consuming it edibly. Because honestly, the only way to overconsume, and I never say overdose because you can't overdose. Cannabis is non-toxic, non-lethal, but you can overconsume when you eat it. And that's really the only way to overconsume, is if you eat it. And that's because of the metabolism. Once it goes through your digestive, it's in there. You can't
get it out.
That off, you know? I say you just have to ride the magic carpet ride until it ends. And sometimes you can get nauseous, or, you know, have the spins. It kind of feels to me like if I were to drink too much alcohol, which I don't consume alcohol, but when I did, sometimes I would have that similar experience of, like, nausea and catching the spins, and I just want to sleep it off.
Right. I think I watched cartoons, like really, really strange cartoons. I wanted to, but I was so paranoid the pizza delivery guy would know, so I just, like, sat there and did nothing.
Yeah, binging anime is a potential side effect, right?
Binging anime. Yeah, for me, it would be Popeye or Mighty Mouse. But so what happened to you, April, is you got the Chong high, you know, Cheech and Chong. You got the Chong high, which is way too high. So here's the deal. I would say you should talk to a physician that is an advocate of, because the doctor that I see, they cannot prescribe it because they're funded by the state of New Mexico. But he did recommend somebody for me to go talk to that's an Aztec. So that's next week. That's what I plan on doing, is going over there and sit down and talking with somebody. Because if you do have to take a urine test for a job, and some jobs require that still, and it shows up, if you do not have a medical card, you're going to be in trouble, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And in New Mexico right now, you guys are medical only. So that does require you to get, and it's not a prescription. No doctor can prescribe it because it's not a prescribed medication. It's actually what you're receiving from your doctor, and any doctor can do it. Even yours, they're just not educated and knowledgeable or brave enough. But all they do is they sign a recommendation saying, I have a relationship with this patient. They qualify due to this condition, and there's a list of conditions that qualify, and they're recommending you to be a patient of the New Mexico State Department of Health Medical Cannabis Patient Program. And that's how that works. And once you get your card, that allows you to access cannabis in dispensaries legally. And that's really the gist of it. I know that New Mexico is making moves right now through the legislature to include adult use cannabis or legal cannabis program. And that would be for any adult who is 21 years or older would be able to then go to those same dispensaries that now currently only medical patients can go to. Any adult 21 years or older could go and show their ID, and in lieu of showing their medical cannabis patient card, be able to access cannabis medicine. And we see that if it goes through the way that it's looking, that will be available by January 1st, 2022 to all adults in New Mexico.
Well, now, see, to me, that's a step. It's got to be a step in the right direction. The plant itself has many, many uses, they're finding out. Are you aware of more uses of the plant as far as hemp and all of that's concerned, Heather?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I learned, you know, I started working with patients, seeing that they were using cannabis, and this really led me to become more knowledgeable. I started attending medical conferences where the researchers that were researching cannabis all over the world would come together to these conferences and talk about the research that they were doing and talk about their findings. And this is where, that was back in, I've been working with cannabis patients since 2009. And in 2012, I started going to these conferences. And that's when I learned about a human body system that none of us as nurses or doctors are taught about in school. And it's called the endocannabinoid system. And what I've learned about this system is fascinating. It's the largest receptor signaling system in our entire body. And it's responsible for homeostasis or balance between all of our other 11 body systems. It's really the communication center to keep us balanced. And that is why we are finding that cannabis as a supplement to the endocannabinoid system is so beneficial for so many different disease processes, from, you know, cancer to pain to autism, seizures, as we were talking about before, Alzheimer's, MS. So there's learning about the endocannabinoid system is really what was a game changer for me as a healthcare professional, and have gone on to learn that not only cannabis can support and enrich and tonify our endocannabinoid system, but there are a lot of other things too. Acupuncture, massage, meditation, yoga, movement. So there's a lot of things that we can be doing to help our endocannabinoid systems be more toned and tuned so that our body systems can work well together and fight off disease.
So April, because I know you have a condition that's pretty, I don't know if chronic, I don't know my medical terms enough, but I know that it's pretty rough on you sometimes.
Yes, it's definitely considered a chronic illness. And so, you know, we've talked about before cutting out things that help, you know, that increase the inflammation. And so I've noticed for me, like gluten, I think is the number one where it, because I have the nerve damage in my face, you know? And so I definitely notice a difference when I like have a cheat and like have it. And then like I can feel it and it comes on much more suddenly, you know, and then I have to avoid the cold air on my face and everything. But, you know, I'd be curious to see if there was a different strain that could kind of help with that. And then I also wanted to touch base with you, because you know a lot about it, about the seizures, because I have a daughter who has seizures, and she is on medication for it, and it's controlled with medication. But I would love to know, like, what you think about using that to, like, is it a preventative thing? Is it you administer during seizure, or how does it work?
Yes, yes, and yes. So wow. This kind of leads us into a good discussion about, you know, the plant cannabis has over 100 cannabinoids. It has over, you know, a lot of different terpenes, flavonoids. So the plant itself is really beneficial. But we sometimes get caught up in, oh, is it a THC or is it a CBD? But this is a good time to kind of talk about the cannabidiol, which is one cannabinoid that's found in cannabis. And there's a lot of research about CBD or high CBD strains that can be used for seizures. And one of the most famous ones that most people know about is Charlotte's Web. And Charlotte Figge was a young girl who had seizures, and Dr. Sanjay Gupta had done a series on CNN called Weed. And one of the episodes that he did was specifically on seizures and CBD and Charlotte's Web, the strain. And it just really opened the door for a lot of parents who had children who had Dravet syndrome, seizure issues. It opened the door for them to say, wow, there's something out there that's a natural plant product that could potentially help my children or my child. And a lot of families have found relief. through the use of high CBD strains, products, and it's just been a game changer. Again, it goes back to that endocannabinoid system and being able to balance out that neuroactivity that's going on. Again, cannabis is a neuroprotectant. So it's very beneficial for helping to reduce those seizures. The other thing is if a child is in the process of a seizure, you can either drop a little bit of the tincture under their tongue. I know of parents that will actually rub topicals on the bottoms of their children's feet in the middle of a seizure, and they say it brings them out of that seizure very, very quickly. So, yes, that would be beneficial. And I'd even say for you, if you're reluctant to having that, a lot of the people that I talk to, they say, look, I want to try cannabis because I know it's beneficial, but I don't want to be high. Yeah. And I say, okay, well, CBD.
Uh-oh.
But if you have a CBD-rich strain that has a little bit of THC, it's going to work even better. And so I'm a big proponent of whole plant medicine, where you're using all the goodies that we know about and the things that we don't quite know about through science. And we actually just in the last 6 months have had the ability to identify 4 new cannabinoids. And so it's very exciting. The area of cannabinoid science and research is one of the fastest moving areas of research to date. And I love it. I love that I get to learn something new all the time, and it's fascinating.
Wow, that's amazing. So, okay, so this is something I'm dying to ask. Let me think of how to phrase this. So, okay, we talked about edibles, and we talked a little bit about inhaling. So is it... would you recommend like smoking versus doing an edible? Like, does it affect you differently? Is it a different, like for someone like me who doesn't want to like bliss out and watch anime for 5 hours, but purely in the name of like, you know, pain relief, like what's your opinion on that?
Yeah. So there's a lot of, the cool thing about this plant is it's so versatile. And it can be used in a lot of different ways. So you can inhale it just like you would an inhaler. I mean, inhaling medicine is part of what we do in medicine. You can do it through a dry flower vaporizer, through a vape pen, or, you know, roll up the doobie, as you would say, David, and smoke it that way. There's also tinctures or lozenges, things that are absorbed in your oral mucosa right in your mouth. Then there's edibles that you eat like a cookie, a brownie. It goes all the way through your digestive system. There's also transdermal, so like a patch or a gel that's able to penetrate through the skin and enter the blood system that way.
Let me ask you this real quick about the patch. Is it a more of a time released with a patch than doing like eating a brownie or smoking a doobie?
Absolutely. So you get those lower consistent doses over a longer period of time. So typically you can put a patch on. It'll last for 24 to 48 hours, one patch, and it's just a low consistent dose of cannabinoids being delivered to your system. And then there's, again, the topical, where it's just your lotions, your balms, your ointments that you can use on your skin. One of the things that's fascinating is that our skin is our largest organ of our body. It's also our first defense in our immune system, and our skin is chock full of CB2 receptors, which is part of this receptor signaling system. And we don't typically utilize the skin as a method for administration of medicine, but it is just primed and ready for you to lather yourself up with nice cannabinoid topicals. People will say, do I get high? And I say, no, but it will feel like a warm hug wherever you put it. The pain relief will stop. If you have a spasm, it instantly stops it. I had an elderly gentleman that had neuropathy, and he said that, you know, nothing stopped his neuropathy, none of the Neurontin or the prescribed medications, but a topical application of cannabinoid ointment on his feet stopped the pain, that burning that comes from nerve pain. And he said, I have to reapply every 2 hours because it doesn't last very long. But he says, applying it to my feet every 2 hours is not only great for my skin, but, you know, it's not that heavy of a lift, you know, for the amount of pain relief that he's actually getting from it.
Wow.
Really amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, before I forget, and this way we're kind of changing topic, but I have to ask, because I've seen several pictures of you, Heather, on Facebook. Is your hair, you still have long hair?
Yeah, I step on it in the shower. I have to be careful.
I was going
to
say, how long is that? Is your hair?
Yeah, it drags the floor. I'm 5'5", and it drags the floor. So I'd have to say my hair is at least 5'5".
Okay. Is that from putting CBD oil in it?
You know, it's funny. My husband always says, you know, it's because she smokes. She was bald 6 months ago. But look it, she started using cannabis. No, I've been growing my hair. I had cut it real short when I was pregnant with my daughter, who just turned 23. So I've actually been growing my hair for 23 years, and I don't cut it or trim it. And now it sweeps the floor. So,
well, I love the pigtails. It's very, very pretty. I would be curious. You need to send me a picture of what it's like when it's not in the pigtails, because it almost drags the floor in pigtails. Unbelievable.
It does, yeah. It gets a little wild, you know. I will send you a picture, you know, but I don't typically go out in public with my hair down anymore just because it creates such a stir.
Well, listen, April, do you have any other questions? Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay. No, I'm just distracted by the hair. And the cosmetologist in me is like, I really, really want to see that hair. So,
it's amazing. It is amazing. Twice. Yeah. It's so cool. Yeah. All right. So any more questions, April? Anything?
No, not that I can think of, but I feel like we have a lot of material. I feel like I definitely learned a lot today. And so glad to have met you on this little Zoom thing. And
I appreciate you both being very open to do the live feed. Like I say, I just it to me it's better to see facial expressions, and I think we just get a little better recording. You know, you've always been open, April, so I haven't really worried about you at all. Heather, I want to put an invitation out there to you. An open invitation. We'd like to have you back sometime in the future as well, as we explore more and more, if you're open for that.
I would love to do that. And I'd also like to just put a little plug out there for all nurses that are starting to learn about the endocannabinoid system. We do now have published national nursing guidelines for medical marijuana that have been published in the Journal of Nursing Regulations in July of 2018. It's important as nurses that we come to understand this body system. It will help you make sense of everything else that we're dealing with. And also, I'm a founding member of the Cannabis Nurses Network. We're doing a lot of great work to support nurses that have come to understand how this medicine works. And we really are empowering one another through support, through education and opportunity and recognition. We do a lot of advocacy. So I'd like to invite any nurses that are interested in learning more or would like to be supported on their cannabis nurse journey to come and join us at Cannabis Nurses Network.
Okay, so that's my other thing is usually I like to give our guest a couple minutes at the end of the podcast to say whatever they'd like to. But I think really, if you don't mind putting your contact, keep in mind that by the podcast, now April's and mine is fairly new. So I have other podcasts that I do that I have listeners and downloaders all the way to Australia, all over the world, Australia and Europe, they're everywhere. So my thing to you is, if you would like, I would like for you to give your information, any contact information, especially for any nurses that may be listening, to be able to get in touch with you or your organization, however.
Definitely. And you can find out more at CannabisNursesNetwork.com. I also have a lovely podcast called Good News with Nurse Heather on CannabisRadio.com. We're on Facebook and all the social media, LinkedIn and Instagram. So you can find you can find us. We're out there. We're doing the work, and we invite anyone who's interested to come and join this journey that we're on to help free plant medicine and our minds from stigma.
Got it. What was the podcast again? Because I'm going to look it up.
Good News with Nurse Heather on CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, I love it. I love it. April, anything else? Did you have anything before I let you go?
No, just that I'm going to look you up too, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
I'm glad you guys came in, you know, pretty much blank slate, so you didn't have any preconceived notions about me or the work that I'm doing, and do check it out. You know, I have been working for a lot of years to help people understand how they can better their lives and their health through the use of plant medicines, and cannabis is such a gentle, loving, powerful plant that we all have access to in some shape or form now in the United States. Pretty much every state has some kind of a medical or adult use cannabis law on the books. And we are breaking down this stigma of reefer madness that we've been taught for so long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will say this. There are different strains. My biggest fear was getting the munchies, because I like to eat a lot. I mean, I ate a case of Hostess Sting Dongs when I had the munchies when I was younger. But there are strains of this cannabis out there, and correct me if I'm wrong, Heather, that do not cause munchies. It still gives you what you need to either go to sleep, because I use it to sleep with. That's the big thing for me, is that I don't do it during the day. It's nighttime when I to go yeah. to bed. So there are different strains for different things, right?
There are, and it's interesting because, you know, the cannabinoids kind of balance out your system. So we find that if you're a patient that has cancer and you're nauseous and you can't eat, and you don't have an appetite, that cannabis can actually work within your system to help you get some kind of an appetite. On the opposite side, there's, you know, it balances everyone's system. So for some people who are, say, trying to lose weight or get more healthy, they can use a little bit of cannabis and it gives them the energy that they need or the mindset to go and work out or take a hike or go for a walk or do something more active. So it's really all about your intentions for how you're using this medicine, because it will definitely deliver what you need when you need it if you use it appropriately.
That's exactly, and that's why it's important. I don't want to advocate buying it on the street. I don't want to advocate any of that. That's why it's important that you talk to, because it is, there are physicians, there are nurses like yourself readily available that can assist you with getting exactly what you need. So don't take any more stuff from friends, April.
I went to Durango and I did it in Durango, so it was legal. Okay.
and you know, there's a saying, a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
Oh my gosh.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, ladies. Heather, we will have you back for sure. And I want to look up your podcast, list a couple of your podcasts. Matter of fact, I'll link them onto this podcast when this one breaks. I'll put a link in there so they can find you as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. This has been very fun, and I'm happy to come back anytime.
Oh, perfect. April, thank you.
Thank you.